SeatGeek is the newest sponsor of Off the Ball Network. If you're listening to this podcast, there's a 99.9% chance you love sports. But watching these games in person is super expensive. To help ease the pain in your wallet, use the promo code OffTheBallNetwork to get a $20 discount for first-time users of SeatGeek. Your next best night ever is waiting, and SeatGeek has the tickets. The Up and Under podcast is proud to be a part of Off the Ball Network. For all things basketball, football, soccer, golf, baseball, sports betting, you name it, go to offtheballnetwork.com and check out the amazing articles posted by writers of the network, including yours truly, and the other podcasts on basically every sport under the sun. Off the Ball Network, your home for quality sports and entertainment content.
I'm ready when y'all are, I guess.
All right, ready.
Yep.
All right, 3, 2, whatever. What is good, everybody? This is your boy Francis Carlotta on episode 56 of the Up and Under podcast. I know I said I'd be better at recording. I know I said it, and I know I haven't been. And it, you know, the bar exam, which sucks. The bar exam sucks. And doing Tigers Live was a lot, was busy. I had my eyes mostly on college basketball. As my guest knows, he had me on his show to talk about the Memphis Tigers. So he gets that, you know, I was more in like the college train for a minute. Mm-hmm. But now that's done. And now it's the NBA playoffs. And it's one of my favorite times of the year is the NBA playoffs. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about. And by we, I am joined by the man who should be walking on cloud nine, who should be feeling like the world is in the palm of his hands. Because his New York Knicks beat the Philadelphia 76ers to move on to the second round. That man is the president of Off the Ball Network, one of my favorite people in the whole world to talk hoops with and just talk life with, Chris LeBron. What's up, brother? Good morning.
What's up, Francis? Good morning, brother. Appreciate you having me on the show. Like I said, it is a it's definitely a good morning that the Knicks are in the second round. That we talked before, I based my mood off the New York Knicks. So a lot of my life has been sad. So, but it's feeling good right now. I was in the city yesterday, you know, everybody's like, whoever had Knicks apparel, we just looked at each other, dapped each other, gave us the, you know, did we just all, we all in solidarity right now. So it's a good mood right now in New York.
Nothing brings people together better than sports. No matter who, yeah. No matter where you're from, no matter where you come from. No matter what your beliefs are and whatever thing,
exactly,
sports,
man,
brings people together.
No matter your political affiliation, your color, your race, it don't matter. If you rock in your team's gear and your team is on fire, we're all one. Sports,
that's right.
Sometimes it can break us apart when things get bad. We got civil wars, and you know it. Mm-hmm. You know, I know, mm-hmm, especially with my team.
For sure, it's
still civil wars a little bit, but right now the vibe is good right now. So, hopefully. For the, you know, hey, until, you know, we'll see how it goes second round. But, you know, right now,
that's right. That's right. We'll get to it. Don't worry. We will get to it. It reminds me of, you know, when Manny Pacquiao would fight, the Philippines would stop. All the crime, the looting, yeah, everything stops. The fighting, the war, over. Because everyone's trying to watch Manny Pacquiao, one Filipino savior, beat another dude's ass. Like, that's what it is.
Oh, man.
You know, it's the power of sports. So let's talk about these NBA playoffs. We got a lot to touch on. So, you know, we got a lot to go through. So some of these we'll get through quickly. Some of these I do want to focus on and spend a little more time. And so let's start in the Western Conference. Let's start with the Phoenix Suns versus the Minnesota Timberwolves, Chris. On paper, this looked like a fantastic matchup. I at least in my eyes, I thought it was two contrasting styles to, you know, a team who could get up and down the floor, score a lot of points, and then a team who could defend every position. One of the great best defensive teams in all of the NBA. And on paper, I thought this was really going to be a really good matchup. I picked Minnesota in seven games because I thought Phoenix would be able to cobble together enough offense to score and keep up with Minnesota over a seven-game series. Obviously, that did not happen. Minnesota swept the Phoenix Suns just out the gym, just kicked their ass throughout the whole series. It wasn't really ever a contest. And so am I surprised? Yes, because I picked them in seven. Am I surprised to see Phoenix lose in the first round, though? That's a different story. I am not surprised at all. And I'll get to that in a moment. But Chris, give me your thoughts on the series. Were you surprised by a sweep? What was your biggest disappointment of the series as well?
I had many in five. I just thought the matchup was just like, I thought this was a horrible matchup for the Suns. The physicality. Okay. I know the Suns did well with them in the regular season, but the regular season is just, it needs context depending because, you know, back to backs, who's not playing, stuff like that. Sure. You know, it just, the intensity is different. And, you know, in a seven game series, you see the same team. After the first few games, you kind of know what they're going to do and you can adjust and all that. And I just thought the physicality with Minnesota's wings and just how good a defense they played. I mean, Rudy, I mean, it's crazy how last year this team, like nobody liked each other. Yeah. It was a disaster, obviously, after the trade when, you know, they reset the market on the for trading and all that with all the picks. And this year they got along. You see, and Rudy has been kind of like a decisive figure, but people seem like they're rocking with Rudy and all that. So he really is the anchor of that team defensively. And everybody just, I mean, they got, when you get Cat playing defense after the first few games, you're like, all right, this could be a sweep and all that. And I wasn't surprised at all, the physicality and all. And then we just saw Ant-Man level up. And right. When he leveled up in this, we saw it in our own eyes. We're like, oh yeah, Phoenix has. And then just Phoenix, the depth is the one thing, right? But it just not, you know, the offense has been kind of clunky all season long. And then you hear reports of KD not happy with the offense. Tell. Yeah. I could see in his body all year, like he was kind of like a spot shooter at point. And like he wasn't able to do his thing because when Booker has the ball, he's, you know, he needs to be effective with the ball in his hand and all that. Same thing with Beal, but Beal's, that the trade never made sense. Still does it and looks even worse now. But yeah, I'm not surprised. I'm really not surprised that they got swept. No, like I said, I had Wolves in five, you know, so game off, but I'm not surprised. I just think the Wolves physicality, Nasri, all the guys, I mean, they're just getting your face and all that. And Phoenix is just, they weren't built for that. And it showed. And then, you know, their team, once they get down, it just seems like they have, you would think even if they're down 20, they could still have a shot to come back because they got three guys that can, you know, can get you 30 a game, but sure. This wasn't the case this year. And they just, the physicality, they couldn't rebound. They had no bench, you know, no size, you know, when you have three guys like that, three max guys like that on a team, you know, you got to be able to fill the roster out. You know, obviously you're limited, especially, you know, when they're in the second threshold in the tax. So they really are limited. You got to find the right pieces, and they just were not able to find the right pieces to work with KD and all and Booker and Beal. So I'm not surprised. And Minnesota leveled up, man. We saw it all year, but to see it in the playoffs is something we were all weary. Like, can they do it in the playoffs?
Of course,
they did it. And Ant-Man took that, and that's why everyone is on like, oh, is Ant-Man like? Is he? Are we seeing the next guy? You know, so. Him leveling up was probably something the Suns weren't expecting to, but it happened and they got sent home, and now they have a long off season that they got to figure out. So, yeah, but I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah, well said. That's 100% fair that you weren't surprised about this outcome. Like I said, it surprised me a little bit just because I thought the matchup would be better. But in terms of Phoenix getting bounced first round, was I surprised about that? Hell no. I've been the biggest Phoenix Suns hater. Phoenix Suns have been Drake and I've been Kendrick towards the Phoenix Suns for the past like 3 years. I've crapped on them for years. I've never thought they were a real NBA championship contender, even when they had Kevin Durant, even when they first traded for him. I just never bought them as a real team. And now you look at them, what they have going on, what their future is said very loosely, what that even looks like. For the Phoenix Suns. It just doesn't exist, Chris. It's not there. And what's so wild to me too is the owner doing exit press conferences that all these teams do nowadays, talk about what happened in the season, et cetera, et cetera. Him just straight up saying, yeah, there are only four teams who wouldn't want to be in the same position as the Suns. Are you serious? Dude, nobody wants to be in your position right now.
I can name like 22 teams. I can name a lot more teams that are like, we're glad we're not in that situation.
Yeah, it's like, I'm good. Like, that, no way, dude. That's ridiculous. And then him also to say, I didn't think we needed to get a point guard. Chris, can you think of an NBA championship team in the past 30 years that didn't have at least a good point guard? Not necessarily great, but at least a good point guard. I can't think of one. But I can.
It's new owner syndrome, though. It's kind of what the Panthers are dealing with the football, with Tepper. You know, just that new owner who just wants to, you know, put everything on the table and just think, all right, you know, I'm gonna show that I'm the head guy here. And that's what Ishbia did. He took over, and you know, getting I don't fault him for getting KD. That's sure. A move I don't fault him for. But the Beal stuff was like, all right, what do you like?
The Beal thing.
You didn't need to do that. Like KD, Booker, those two alone, and you just put some nice pieces around them, you could be a championship team. And you get Beal and all that, knowing with all the injury history and just like how tough of a fit that's going to be with another guard, a ball dominant guard.
Ball dominant guard, yeah.
It just, and now, and then if things were to go sideways, if you wanted to trade Beal, you really can't.
You can't. He has a no trade clause.
He has a no trade clause. And now his stock is at an all time low. And I don't know how many years Beal has left in his deal, you know, but
I think it's three.
So yeah, you're stuck, and you have no picks till what, 2030 that you can that are not in your control. It's a move that, you know, you understand why owners do it, but then you understand why they're owners and not, you know, basketball guys, because
sure,
this isn't 2K, you know, and yeah, they have crazy money and all that, and like I said, they want to make that, they want to show that the fans that they care and all that, but the fans also want you to make, you know, sensible moves that are going to better, not just now, but the future, because you're a fan for life. So there's fans, I know Suns fans that are like, this is going to be, it's bad now, it's going to be worse because
it is.
Hey, KD's 36, going to be 36, right? You know, hey.
Yeah.
His legacy is on the line. Because his legacy since he left Golden State has taken a hit. And Booker, we don't know what Booker. He may be like, hey, man, we got an aging KD. We got Bradley Beal. What's going on? Man, let me go somewhere. So this, if they don't rectify something this offseason, they don't fix it, man, I feel sorry for Suns fans. I mean, they went through a lot with the old-past owner. They went through with Sarver, right? You know, mm-hmm, with the past owner and all that, with everything he did to ruin that team, and for them to finally figure it out, get to the final. Yeah, they lost, but they had a sense of hope, and then for that to be basically gone, because it's going to be a tough offseason for them boys.
There's just no fixing it either, though, Chris. Like, it's not even like, what can they do to fix it? I just don't. They can't. Like, what are they going to do? Trade every bench player for some semblance of a guy? Like, what does that mean? And then they only have two draft picks in their control, and they're second rounders. Two second rounders.
It's not like they can attach those like a couple first round picks to Beal to be like, all right, just to get him off the books.
But the game is in a no trade clause. Like, it's every move that Phoenix wants to make to improve themselves, they can't. They can't make it because XYZ reasons. They've literally boxed themselves in a corner. They put themselves in checkmate, and they can't move. Like, they just can't do anything. It's a perfect example of how to not build a franchise, how to not build a team. It's the perfect example. This is it. Like, there's going to be like case studies about this in sports management classes in like 20 years. Like, this is it. This is what you should never do. Like, you just ignored other facets of the game of basketball, where all they thought they could get a championship is score. But you need to defend. You need to rebound. You need to actually have playmakers. You need so many other things than just scorers to win NBA champion, to win basketball, period. And it's just like
they zero playmaking.
They have no point guards. Like, to my point before, give me an NBA championship team that hasn't had at least a good point guard. Mm-hmm. You can't do it. You can't. Every championship team needs a point guard. Point blank, period. It's just that simple.
It's so, that and just not having the right role players around you. Like, you
–
that's – yeah, it's cool to get a big three, quote, unquote, and all that. But we saw that when Miami first – when the Heatles happened. Like, that first – when they lost to Dallas, they just didn't have the right guys around them. And then they figure, okay, we are limited with who we can get, so we got to make sure we hit on the right vets and all that. And they figured it out with the Mike Millers and the Ray Allens and all that and the Chalk. They figure it out and they went back to back and all that. But it's tough to do it with, especially now where the NBA kind of doesn't want big threes. That's how the new CBA app, you know, is constructed, and with the salary. It's not meant for. So I don't get why they went that. I do not get it. Why they went that way. They could have filled out that roster and we might be talking about them playing in the second round right now, you know, and all that. But it's no longer the case, so they got to figure this out because they are in a massive hole. And to be this, you know, to have one of the highest payrolls and you didn't even win a playoff game against a team that you played well against in the regular season. I don't think they lost them in the regular season. I think they swept them in the regular season. No. So
it's they swept them.
So it's like a team we had success with in the regular season and we didn't even win a game. In the playoffs against this team, it's something that's very concerning. And like I said, good luck, James Jones. I wouldn't be surprised if they
could, because
but I won't put it all on him. It's more of the owner, but we know how this works. GM always, he's going to probably be the, we don't know what's going to happen with Vogel. He might be gone and all that. It's not his fault. He wanted a point guard, but hey.
Right. He has a basketball brain, but you know.
Yeah, whatever. He's always gets the brunt of, I don't know, man. He's a good coach. I don't know why he keeps getting fired, but that's what happens when you're in the big teams.
Yeah, 100%. That's very well said about the Suns. They are in a lot of trouble. Like, just point blank period, they're in a lot of trouble. No future. Hey, again, as the biggest Phoenix Suns hater there is, it makes me happy. I love seeing them struggle. I love seeing this. I don't even know what it is about the Suns that I just hate, but I hate them, and that's okay. You know, you can hate teams and whatever. That's just how I feel about the Phoenix Suns, and them struggling makes me happy. So cool. Like, good luck to them. They need all of it. So let's move on. Let's talk about some of the other series in the Western Conference. Let's quickly run through, obviously Denver beat the Lakers in five. It was frustrating to hear people say, oh, LeBron could, I guess it's LeBron, so you're always going to get the narrative if he's down 3-0 that he could be the first guy to do it. Mm-hmm. The narrative always comes out because it's LeBron, but like, no, that was never going to happen. Like, they got a game, good for them. Gentlemen sweep, and Denver's just, it's Denver. Thunder Pelicans, again, not a close series at all. The Thunder are just the miles better team than the Pelicans. And so no real point to dive super deep into them. I just want to ask you this question. Who are you more confident in right now, Denver or the Thunder, to come out of the West?
I don't know. The way Minnesota looked like yesterday, I don't know now.
I know.
I don't know. Minnesota, it's – you got to give them credit for what they've done from what they look like last year to what they look like this year. It's just it's all up here. It's all the mentality and all that. Like I said, Ant-Man leveling up has helped that and all that. And Rudy stepping up defensively even more. But OKC, man, I still, that's tough. Because Denver's obviously, they got championship pedigree. And they're down 0-1 in the series, but you like the just thing they still, it's only one game. Yeah, I guess I would still go with Denver just because they know how to handle it. Yeah, they lost the first game at home and all that, but they can. OKC is, I think just simply because I know their average age is like 23, 24. But I don't really put too much stock into like, oh, they have enough. They get it. They get it. For a young team, they get it and all that. So, you know, wouldn't be surprised if this is the matchup for the conference finals. But, yeah, I'll go with Denver. I still have belief in them. You know, like championship pedigree. They still have, you know, the best player on the court and all that. It's just he's going to need guys to just step up and all that. But, you know, like I said before, Ant-Man's leveling up. So that might be something Jokic can't handle, you know. So, yeah. But yeah, I still go with Denver, I trust, you know, going far.
Yeah, I'll agree with you as well, just because it's Denver's in the prove me wrong, like, territory. Like, until otherwise shown that they don't have it anymore, then okay. Like, but until that happens, I'm still going to pick Denver to come out the West. They just won an NBA championship. They have the experience. They have basically the same team. They lost some key pieces on the bench, but basically it's the same team. And it's just hard to bet against Jokic right now. He's still the best player in the world. And I know Minnesota can really give him fits. You know, that's why, like, I'll just say it now since we're kind of talking about the Nuggets-Wolves. I picked Minnesota in six, officially. I officially picked it. So I think they lose. I do think Denver loses. So I guess by default, I think I'm more confident in the Thunder, I guess, by default. But so since I have Denver losing, it's just because the matchups. I don't like talk about matchup with the Phoenix and Minnesota. I think this is not a good matchup for Denver at all.
This is a tough matchup. Very tough matchup.
It's tough. It's the one time where you look at a team playing Denver with Jokic and think, okay, maybe they can actually guard this guy. Maybe they can do it. And they did a good job in game one. You know, Jokic talked about in the post-game press conference when they asked about Minnesota rolling out the three big lineup. And Jokic's response was just like, clone me or something. Like, need more of me on the floor. Mm-hmm. That's actually their really only answer. Like, that's it. And they can Minnesota can put Jaden McDaniels on Jamal Murray. They can put guys who can guard Jamal to whatever degree, but they can still put guys on him who can bother Jamal Murray. And if Jokic doesn't have a Robin to his Batman, I just don't see how they're going to win the series.
And even on switches, like Jamal Murray, like even if they switch, you go Dane, Jamie, Ant-Man is a solid defender, man.
Yeah.
And all that. So they got multiple guys, even on when they try to switch and try to get some advantage, there really isn't. So Jamal Murray kind of got put in a blender yesterday, you know, so you see that and like, who's guarding Ant-Man?
Yeah, who's guarding it? We saw it last night. Like, who? No one. He's worth 43.
That's a barbecue chicken.
That's easy. That's easy
money for Ant-Man, especially that's what easy. We're seeing now from him. Like, KD couldn't stop him in the first round. No, like, we're seeing he's blossoming into, like, and we thought he was already a star, right?
Right. Is he a superstar?
I won't do that. To me, superstar, you have it is like elite of elite. You are a one percenter and all that, but I won't throw that yet. But what we're seeing right now could be the birth of a superstar. You know, him getting you know, knocking on the door and being like, "I'm here." Like, he's there. Right. He's knocking. This run potentially get him there and all that. But yeah, I don't know who's guarding Ant-Man this series. So. Yeah. You know, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be interesting how they, you know, I trust Mike Malone. He knows how to adapt and all that. So he'll come back in game two and I think he'll adjust and all that. But Ant-Man that's going to be tough to guard him in a seven game series. It's going to be tough to guard him. So we'll see what happens. But yeah.
That's exactly why I picked Minnesota to win the series. I don't know who's going to guard him. There's no answer for Denver. They have to throw multiple looks at him. They have to throw different types of coverages. But one-on-one, who's going to guard Ant? Nobody. And that's a problem. Like, that's a problem. Then you look at who's going to be able to guard Jokic. Well, Minnesota can scheme around Jokic better than, I think, really any team in the NBA in terms of defense, in terms of scheme. No one can do it better than Minnesota, in my opinion, because Minnesota has the perfect personnel for Jokic and what he wants to do on the basketball court.
They'll make it hard for him. They did it last day. Like, Jokic got his, I think he had 30 or whatever, but he had to work for it.
But it was
inefficient. He had to really work for it.
He had to really work for it. Ain't that the sign of a superstar? He scores 30 and you're like, he had to work for his 30, blah, blah, blah. That's the sign. So whatever your criteria is, Chris, that should be on your criteria.
He's there. Jokic is a superstar. He's in that. He got with that last year. He officially entered the superstar club.
There we go. All right, I'll take that. All right, so I picked Minnesota in six. Chris, what's your prediction for the series real quick?
Minnesota in six.
Okay.
I know I said I trusted them, but I also think Dallas takes care of business against OKC and all that. So, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's the other way around, but that's I think Minnesota something like, and like I said before, last year was a disaster. And I was like, this is going to get, I thought it'd just continue to get worse and all that, but Ant-Man, his ability to just gather the troops and, like I said, take that next step, not only as a player, but as a leader and all that. And that obviously has infiltrated to everybody else because everybody rocking with each other. Nobody was rocking with Rudy last year, it felt like, and now everybody rocking with Rudy and everybody's behind him and all that. So it's just something, man. When that clicks, man, we knew they had the talent. Like they had just on paper, you're like, this could be a championship team if this connects and this connects. You wouldn't have been surprised if, like, no, they could, if they won a championship, if everything clicks, you wouldn't have been surprised. But last year, we're like, okay, this isn't gonna work. This year, they just clicked, and I mean, they were number one seed for a lot of the season and all that.
Yeah.
You know, they had some injuries and all that, but then,
you
know, they took care of business first round. So yeah, it's pretty cool to see them leveling up like that, because last year was, we didn't expect this to happen with how last year transpired.
Yeah, and also quick talk about point guards. Quick shout out to the vet Mike Conley he's having a really good year, and he's been like the adult in the room to bring everyone together. Like, first of all, Conley's always been a phenomenal teammate. Days in Memphis, we all know that, and I think he's been a really positive force for that locker room, for that team. And you know, I'm rooting for Conley to win a ring. That'd be amazing. That would just make me happy as someone who's rooted for him since I was a kid.
That's exactly what the Suns need. Exactly what the Suns need. Mike Conley.
Yeah, 100%. They need a stabilizer. They should go get Tyus Jones from the Wizards. Get him off that team. They can't. I don't think they can. But that's the type of dude they need. They just need a stabilizing force at point guard. Minnesota has that. And they're
1,000%.
They're a real contender. Real contender this year. Okay, talk about Clippers-Mavs. Clippers-Mavs, the biggest winner of the Kendrick Drake beef are Paul George and James Harden. And somehow J. Cole. I said that in the – somehow J. Cole won the beef. It's insane. I don't understand. How you quit a beef and win? But he did. It's like he won the whole thing. But definitely, Harden and Paul George are sneaky winners because everyone forgot about how terrible they were in game six against the Mavs, especially James Harden. And this is what Harden does, Chris. He has a really good game in the playoffs. And people think, it's James Harden. He's not that bad in the playoffs. He has his moments. Look, it's overblown that he's a bad. No, you're talking at your ass. Like, he's a great. No, he's not. He's not. He's not good in the playoffs. He never has been. He never will be. And that's not overblown. These are facts. This is what James Harden does. He doesn't show up in the biggest moments in the playoffs. Hasn't shown up for the past three games in this series against the Mavs. And it hurt him. You know, obviously, Kawhi not playing too was a big problem. That's a big problem with Kawhi. I'm not a doctor by any stretch of the imagination. I don't know what's happened to his body. But whatever it is.
Just gave him an extension too.
I know. Like, it's. Over the season, he had a good year. Like, I thought Kawhi had a good regular season. He looked pretty healthy, but then I don't know what happened over these past couple weeks where he just stopped playing basketball. I don't understand. Again, not a doctor. I don't know the human body like they do. So the Clippers are another team, Chris, just like the Suns, in a horrible position moving forward, in a really tough position. Now, I guess, could they trade Paul George and get some assets? Sure. So they're in a better spot than Suns because they can trade. They could trade Paul George. They could trade Kawhi. Like, they could still make some moves and blow it up. That's a possibility. But either way, they're in such a bad spot moving forward. So, Chris, I ask you, are the Clippers stuck?
Yeah. Stuck's not even the word. They're, it is just, they are, what's that called, quicksand? Just sinking and sinking and sinking and sinking. Yeah, quicksand. Like, they're in a bad spot because they obviously mortgaged their whole future when, is getting Kawhi, but they had needed a running mate. And obviously we know what they traded for in Paul George, because one of those pieces is, playing the team that they just lost to, and is an MVP, possibly could win the MVP this year, and many think he is the MVP, in SGA. So they officially lost the trade because, now you're in negotiate. You don't know if Paul George is going to return, So that's a thing. You have, James Harden, to figure out with him and all that. Obviously, you re-sign Kawhi, which we all know how good Kawhi is when he's playing, but the problem is he doesn't play it. And he's not playing when you need him in the playoffs. The regular season, whatever, man. We need you in the playoffs because, the Clippers, a few years ago when they went to the conference finals, they had Kawhi. They maybe get to the finals, and maybe we're talking about them being champions. And this year, if they had him, man, they could have made a run. But it's just a continuing, the same story. It's like, oh, what if Kawhi is healthy? And then again, oh, what if Kawhi is healthy? What if Kawhi is healthy? What? There's only so many times you could be like, what if Kawhi is – well, no, he's sure. Not. He's never going to be healthy, all right? So if you're Ballmer, it's like we're going into our new arena, right? He's changed the culture. They're no longer – LOL Clippers, as far as losing and all that, but it's still kind of like, you're still the Clippers. So it's like, do we blow it up and start over? And I just got a new arena that I just spent crazy. It's supposed to be the greatest arena in basketball history and all that. And I'm going to have nobody on this team that, fans are, we're already the second team in LA by far. So he's in a tough situation too, because I know you want to put a good product on, but right, you're championship. It's about winning a championship with the team you have. You should be about championships, and I don't know if he's going to get it. It's always going to be what if? What if Kawhi is healthy? What if, and it's just a continuing issue, and it's tough. So, they got to figure out what's going to happen with PG. Is he going to come back and all that? I know they're in negotiations. They want him back. But, that's, man. And then James Harden, too. Like, what do you do with that? So, yeah. I don't know. I always feel like they're another team. If everything gets together, they should have a championship by now. But it's the same story, just a different year. So, for the Clippers, I think they're in a tough situation. And then SGA continuing to level up, too, doesn't make it better. Maybe no. If SGA was just not – he wasn't SGA, it was somebody else, yeah. Another player to be named later, and just was some schmo. It looks bad, but it doesn't look as bad. But when you see SGA and you're like, oh, man, that guy's really good, and we traded the farm, and we knew we liked him. We didn't want to get rid of him, but in order to get Kawhi, we had to get PG, and we had to include this guy. We saw it. So that makes it worse for the Clippers, and Clippers fans and all that. So, yeah, they're in a tough spot, man. But, when you're the second team, like Brooklyn, for instance, in New York, man, you got to
– Sure.
You got to really got to figure things out, because you have to try to grasp any type of attention and fan – like get the fans – because you're on the second team. It's tough being a second team and all that. So you tend to do things irrational. We saw what Brooklyn did, and it backfired. And it's happening with the Clippers, and you go all in to try to take over the city, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And stuff like this happens. So, it is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. The Clippers are, I think you said it really well. They're in quicksand. They're sinking fast, and it's going to take a miracle to be able to pull them out. I said this on one of my good friends' podcasts, Through the Hard Way. Shout out to throughout all the dudes there. I went on their podcast before the start of the year. During the early part of the NBA season, we were talking about the Clippers, and because they're off to a bad start. And I brought this up on that pod. I'll bring it up now. You may know this, Chris. For the 2025-2026 season, the Los Angeles Clippers have only three dudes under contract. Three. Kawhi, Norm Powell, and their first-round draft pick, Kobe Brown. That's it. That's it, dude. That team is going to look radically different in 2 years. Whether they keep Paul George as our player option entering next year, okay, you re-sign him to a great deal. All right, then you got him under contract. But do you want to do that? Is that worth it to you? He's 34.
He's a 34-year-old with injury history.
Correct, with injury history. And he's kind of losing a little bit of that pop and burst that makes Paul George Paul George. He's still a good player, don't get me wrong, but he's lost a step. He's lost a little bit of the burst and acceleration that's made PG PG. And now you look at the rest of the team. You know, Russ is going to be under contract in 2 years. Harden won't be under – Harden's last year was this year. So like you said, Chris, you're bringing him back. They have so many questions and just not enough answers, which is kind of how it was for the Suns. So many question marks and just not enough answers for the Los Angeles Clippers. Yeah. I don't know what the answers are.
Like 3 for 160, something like that, or for Paul George, it's like an astronaut. Because I know Kawhi got 3 for 150, I think.
Yeah,
you know, I think it's probably around that range. He's eligible for, so to give two guys that. And then James Harden, too. If you want to run it back, you're going to pay James 120. Like, you're going to have hard three pass. Guys making $50 million, and you're not.
You're the Suns again.
And you're the Suns again. You're aging. This isn't.
Yeah.
You know, Kawhi's obviously with the injuries. Paul George, 34. James was 33, 34, roughly around the same age and all 34. That. 34. So
yeah.
You're going to have those three guys, you know, getting $60 million into the. To the mid to late 30s.
Yeah.
I understand. It's like just, they got a new building. So you want to make sure that building is rocking, but man, Ballmer has some major, major decisions to make this offseason.
I mean, look, the one constant is Kawhi, whether what that even means because of his health, who knows, but either way, under contract, you have Kawhi for three more seasons starting next year. So 24, 25, 25, 26, 26, 27. They got Kawhi for a good amount of time. But that's really it. Like, you only have PG next year. That's it. You don't have James Harden right now for next season. And that's it. Like, you at least know you have Kawhi Leonard. But even because of his injuries and his health, you don't even know if you truly have Kawhi Leonard, if you know what I'm saying. Yeah. So they're in such a difficult position. And they also don't have any draft picks. They only have 4 draft picks over the next 6 years. 2 second-round picks in this year's draft, and then a first in 2030 and a second in 2030. That's it. Like, they also don't have picks. And I don't even know if they can trade that 2030 first-round pick because of the stepping rule. I just don't know. Because if they don't have their 2029 first, they probably can't trade their 2030 first because of the stepping rule. So I don't know, man. Like, it's just – same thing with the Suns. Mm-hmm. They're stuck. Their future is
Paul George's his extension eligible is 4 for 221. That's 60 per.
Oh my god. Ugh.
So that brings him to age, I think, 38.
Ugh.
So, and you, like I said, you hard just have pass. Kawhi on 3 for 150, and whatever Harden probably is in that Kawhi-ish range. So,
Bad
situation. It's bad, especially when you're not winning. When you're not, or when you're not even getting. It's not even that you're not winning. It's not that you're not getting close.
Yeah, you're losing not getting close. In the first you're not making, right.
That's exactly. What hurts.
That's just definitely what hurts. So, yeah, they're in also real trouble, just like the Suns, just like the Suns. So let's talk about two teams though that have some upside. Some things are going for them. Let's talk Mavs, OKC quickly. You mentioned you're picking Dallas to beat the Thunder. Talk to me why, Chris. Why are you doing it?
I think it's going to be tough. I think Luka's going to have a bounce. I know he's banged up. I know he's got the knee issue and all. But I think Gafford, Washington, Lively, I know OKC has Chet. But that's about it. I think the physicality and from the bigs of Dallas, gets the better of OKC. I think they take care of them. They get on the boards. Second chance opportunities is huge. Yeah. And you can't give second chance opportunities to Luka and Kyrie. So I think because of that factor, because of the size of Dallas and all that, I think that'll be just a little bit too much. Because OKC, they've had a great season. They have wings that can defend and all, but the problem is their size. They have a Chet and all that, but if he gets in foul trouble, that's just about it. So yeah. I think the physicality of those bigs get the better second chance points. You can't give second chance points to Dallas. They'll kill you and all that. And Kyrie feels like he's in his zone right now. So yeah, Luka hasn't been Luka, but they got Kyrie, and Kyrie is used to playing that second fiddle. You know, he's played with LeBron. You know, he's played with KD. Even though they have success, he played with KD and all that. So I think Dallas, because of the size and all that, second chance points, I think they take care of business and they'll win in six. I'll say Dallas in six and all that.
Okay, Dallas in six. I like the reasoning for sure. You know, Dallas does match up pretty well against OKC. Like you said, they can go big. They got the bigs to match up with the Thunder. I just want to know, I guess, who's going to guard Shai? You know, are you going to trust Derrick Jones? You're going to, you know, Luka's a big body, but he's not quick enough. Mm-hmm. So that's a tough matchup. I mean, that's why OKC has been incredible, because Shai's a walking, he's so hard to guard, period. So I guess that'd be my biggest question. But in terms of the overall series, I just think I got to go with a little bit of experience here. And because I think Luka and Kyrie are desperate to win. I think they're desperate to find some success, not just for themselves, but for the team. They really gotta make a Western Conference final to make their experiment worth it as well. Because mm-hmm. you know, don't forget that the Kyrie Luka thing is also the Dallas's own experiment on roster building and roster construction and giving Luka another guy. And for that to work, they got to find real success, and making it out of the first round is not what they're considering real success. Real success is making Western Conference final and going, and then maybe an NBA final from there. So I think they're more desperate than OKC. Kyrie's playing desperate. Kyrie's playing like the whole world's against him and everyone's doubted him the whole forever. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what he's playing like. He's playing like his back's on fire. His hair's on fire. That's it. And if Luka can find some semblance of efficiency, because he has not been efficient at all in these playoffs. If he can find some semblance of efficiency and be the Luka that we know Luka is, can be, then I think this goes seven, and I think I'll go Dallas in seven. I think they pull off the upset at OKC's home court, because OKC just isn't ready. They don't have that desperation to win, even if it's game seven on the home floor. Like, honestly, I would comfortably pick Dallas in game seven on OKC's home floor because of what I'm talking about now. Like, that just that desperation factor. They want this more than OKC does. OKC is the young team that has the whole world ahead of them. I know what it feels like. I'm a Grizzlies fan. Like, it's we're the young team, two seed in the West, with the whole world ahead of us. Like, and they didn't play fully desperate enough, you know, injuries, et cetera, et cetera. But 100%. In the back of their minds, they're like, we got years to go. We got time to win a championship. For Dallas, no. This is their window now. Like, this is their time. This is it for this roster to win a championship. And 100%. This is it. So I think they're going to play more desperate. I'll also pick the upset with you. I'll pick them in seven, though, because I think they go into OKC and they take care of business. Like, they take care of business on the road floor. X factors, I think, are definitely – I like your shout. PJ Washington's going to have to be really good. Lively is going to have to keep playing really good ball like it has been. Those bigs are going to have to dominate the series. If those bigs do so, I think they can get the job done. But my true X factor, Chris, is Luka. It's weird to say that Luka Doncic is an X factor, because it's Luka Doncic, but he's my X factor. Kyrie's going to be Kyrie. He's been incredible. But Luka's got to match him.
Like, gotta
he's got to be Luka. And if he's not Luka, then I don't know if Dallas will have the firepower to win a 7-game series against OKC. OKC still has Shea. They still have Chet. They still have dudes who can score. They have 3-point shooting. They can defend. That's still a damn good.
Yeah, they got Jalen and Dort who can neutralize him. So
exactly,
you know, something the Clippers didn't have, you know, and all that against, you know, so Luke, even with bad games, they didn't have anyone that could especially with no Kawhi. So in this series, it'll be different because the wings can neutralize Luka and Kyrie and all that. So Luka's gonna have to bounce back big and all that. But we'll see what happens. I know he's got the, you know, he's banged up a little bit and all that, but you know, we'll see. We'll see. This is gonna be a very fun series though. SGA, Kyrie, you know, it's gonna be a lot of fun this series, you know, especially to see how loud that, you know, OKC is gonna be and all that. It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be a good one.
Man, these second round matchups in the West are going to be awesome. I mean, hell, these second round matchups, and we're going to get to these conferences now. They're going to be so must watch TV. So let's get to the East. Let's inch closer to talking about your Knicks. So let's quickly run through Boston, Miami. Not this time, Miami. Sorry. Like, well, thank you for coming. You won a game. Resident Heat fan Mo. Like, get your Heat out of here, man. That's it. We're done talking about him. We're done with the culture. But that's it. I just ask you, you know what? I'm not going to ask you this because I think it will come up naturally as we go out. So let's talk. And then we obviously know what happened. Boston, Miami, Cavs, Magic. That was a really good series. I had a great time watching those games. Those two, again, two teams that had kind of differing styles, but really made for what I thought was really good basketball games. All the games were tons of fun.
Game seven should be good today. It
should be good.
I predicted that's the one of the few predictions I've had right was every home team will win a game this series, and so far it's been that way. So we'll see if Orlando takes care of business today and all that. But Paolo has played, had moments and all that. They just don't have enough scoring, Orlando. You know, right now they just don't have enough scoring. So hopefully they can figure that out and, you know, take care of business, you know, against Cleveland. And Cleveland, eventually they're going to have to figure out with the big situation, who are they going to pick? Is it Jared or is it Mobley? And they invested in Mobley with a high pick, and Mobley does have the better, higher upside and all that. We know what he can do defensively. There is more offensively, in my opinion. So I think eventually if you want to keep Mitchell there, you know, all that, you know, I think eventually, you know, Jared's going to move. So you just have more spacing and all that. You let your guards, you know, cook and all that. But it's going to be a good game seven. You know, Orlando has showed out and all that. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I agree. Game seven should be really fun. I know a team that could use Jared Allen, and it's my Grizzlies. I think that would be nice if we could somehow get Jared Allen off of Cleveland. But you know, that's probably not going to happen, but I can dream. I can dream.
Yeah. You guys got an interesting off season ahead of you.
Yeah, we do. But, we're focused on playoff teams. So Memphis is not one of those teams. There'll be time to talk about Memphis later.
Not to get off, but this is going to be the craziest off season in NBA history. And we've had some pretty wild off seasons when KD was a free agent, LeBron, all the times he's a free agent. That's always interesting. And, you know, a couple few years back with all them, going to be the craziest off season in NBA because teams are, we just talked about a few teams, the Suns, the Clippers, they're going to have to figure out things. I'm sure we talk about the Sixers. There's a lot of teams, especially with stars that are kind of aging a little bit and trying to win now that are going to be trying to, and but there's teams like my team that could be trying to get, so there's going to be, is going to be the most craziest off season and maybe in our lifetime. It's going to be that insane.
Look, man, I hope you're right, Chris. I love
your team, your Memphis Grizzlies. Listen, we're talking about all these teams, but like Memphis, you guys, everything, whatever could go wrong, went wrong for you guys. Like literally like everything, like atomic bomb dropped and it was like, oh, yeah. Wow, we didn't expect that. And this happened and that happened, this happened. So like, but if you get everyone right, you guys are going to be in a play. You're a playoff team when everything's right. You know, obviously make some moves to try to get to the conference finals and all that, but you're still involved. We got the Spurs, you know, the Houston Rockets took things serious this year. So they're on the cusp, you know, they're almost a playoff. So like, there's teams going to be like, oh my God, we got teams on the bottom. Like if you're out West, You're like, yo, we just can't worry about the teams in front of us. We got to worry about these two, three teams in bottom of us. Memphis is going to be there. We're going to San Antonio, Houston. It's going to be the wildest offseason in NBA history.
Yeah. This is why I love the Warriors, Chris. Too? Like, I love you still the excitement. Worry about the Warriors. Steph okay, we don't, me.
we don't have to worry about the Warriors, Chris. I'm going to shut that down. We don't have to worry. I'm just saying,
like, they can have a different team. Like, just the look of them is going to be different. So it's
I'm being an asshole.
Crazy. West going to be crazy next year, but the whole league going to be turned upside down, man. We're going to see so much movement and all that.
Got me excited. Got me all excited. I'm being an asshole about the Warriors, though. They have Steph.
I mean, they had their runs or whatever happens.
We'll see what happens, but. Yeah. No, I'm with you. I think it's going to be a hell of an offseason. I'm so excited. Like when the NBA playoffs end, when a champion gets crowned, I'm ready to talk about the offseason. I'm ready to talk about these teams and what they're going to look like moving forward. Oh, I'm so excited. So yeah, that's going to be great. Really quickly, can either Orlando or Cleveland, whoever wins today in Game 7, could either of them pull off the upset against Boston? I mean, right? Just no chance.
Not.
Never. Okay. Yeah, I didn't think so. Just wanted to know if you had a different opinion, but you're a smart man, Chris. So of course you didn't think so.
I mean, you can never say never. So
sure, but I guess. Yeah,
I don't think they have a chance against Boston. Boston.
Yeah,
they slipped up against Miami, but I mean, that happens sometimes. You get a game, and then they took care of business the next three games. So everybody got all worked up, and I was like, let's chill. This happens.
Yeah, let's relax.
You know, the Nets did this a few years back when they had D'Lo and all that. They won a game, and then they lost four in a row. This happens sometimes. You just, sometimes you need that little, like, oh, all right, yo, we need to stop tripping, bro. Let's get rid of these guys. Don't not make it a six-game series. And they took care of business. They destroyed them by 30 every game after that. So they sometimes you need a little kick in the butt to be like, hey, we tripping. And we lost at home, too. Nah, let's get in order. And let's take care of business because we have, obviously, there's the bigger picture. Let's get the little bug, you know, that little mosquito. We got to get them away. And they took care of business. You know, I hate to say it because I hate Boston, but they did their thing and all that. So, but Cleveland and Orlando, they don't stand a chance against them. You know, Cleveland has a better shot because they have Mitchell and they do have the size. To kind of neutralize them a little bit, but they just don't have enough scoring at all. And Boston, I mean, I know KP is going to be probably out for this series and all that, but actually I think it kind of opens up their offense with Tatum and Brown a little bit more. So
yeah, it's just old Boston, which is still a good team.
Because they have a bunch of guys that could score. So yeah, neither team. I mean, maybe they get a game, maybe just get a game, but it won't go more than five games, if anything, serious. But Orlando, that could be a sweep.
I think that would be right now.
They definitely don't have enough scoring. It could be ugly games and all that. But I like where Orlando's going, and they're another team that could. They're going to be in the market to try to get somebody with Paolo and all that and Franz. But neither team doesn't really. I don't think they have a shot against Boston next round.
I agree. I think you said it great. If Cleveland advances, I think maybe at most they can get two. That's their ceiling, is winning two games against Boston. But that would even be a stretch, I think.
I just got it. I don't know if you got this alert on Bleacher. It's just like, and we just talked about Booker and the Suns. Like, his future's unclear. He's not sure about, you know, what's going to happen and all that. So it's just interesting. Interesting. Yeah. Like I said, it's going to be a wild offseason. Wild.
Yeah. Yes, it will. All right, so let's move on to talking from a wild offseason to talking about a wild, chaotic city that was New York City. After your Knicks beat the Philadelphia 76ers in Game 6 at Philadelphia on their home floor, and I loved that video of all the fans reacting, just straight yelling into the camera. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get the clip for when I actually put the recording out, but by far my favorite line is, "We are the New York Knicks, sucking our New York dicks." That is the best line.
You know what's crazy? That person who said that is a friend of mine's boyfriend.
Oh wow!
Yeah, because I saw the video, and then somebody's like, "Yo, that's in touch boyfriend and all that." I was like, "Oh yeah, that's cool, that's funny." And I already met him a few times, but he never brought out that type of personality. But when it's basketball and you just beat Philly and all that, you see people that are probably low key, just they express everything out. So it was funny seeing that video because I'm like, "Oh, I never saw that in him," but hey, that was
hysterical. Yeah. Well, Chris, the floor is yours. How are you feeling? Are you excited about the Pacers? What are your thoughts on the Knicks beating the Sixers? Thoughts on them against the Pacers? The floor is yours as my resident New York Knicks friend. It's yours. Go for it.
And that's, first of all, the Sixers-Knicks series, that as just to take off the Knicks hat and you just basketball fan, that was a fun series, man. Stressful for me, but as a basketball fan, that's what you want to see, man. That's what you want to see. You want to see physicality. You want to see two teams that don't like each other, two cities that don't like each other. And, you know, that's playoff basketball, man. Like, I got no complaints. That was a fun series. Every game came down to the last seconds, you know. Game two, we're down six with 30 seconds left. We steal that one. Game five, Sixers, we're up six. Same situation, essentially. They steal it. So you got two teams that probably – you know, it could have been reverse and all that. The Philly could be up and all that. But, you know, you steal games. You got everything you wanted in a series. You got you saw Maxey level up. And you're like, oh, man, this is a star in the making and all that. And as much as people give – I know Embiid did some stuff that was not, you know, basketball stuff, you know, especially with the Mitchell Robinson stuff. And he, you know, constantly, you know, flop and all that stuff. But I will give him credit. He was a gamer, man. He's battling Bell's palsy, which that sucks, you know, and because that's not just, you know, that's not sprained ankle. No, that's something that's long-term health. So on that point, I wish him, you know, nothing but the best handling that. But the knee, man, we all know his knee is, we know his injury history and we know his knee, how bad his knee was. So for him to go out there and be a gamer and all that, that's respect. I'll give him respect on that point. Other stuff, he was a little, but that's how he always played and all that. So whatever, but we got him out of here. So we don't got to worry about that no more. But you know, that series was intense, man. It was intense and all that. And now we go from one intense series to another one with the Indiana Pacers. And it's crazy. It's just like, these are rivals. These are legit Knicks rivals. So to see this in fruition, and you know, I'm not going to look ahead or nothing, but we could potentially see another rival. So, but I won't get ahead of myself, but yeah, Indiana is going to be interesting because they can score. Now, they can't defend.
Yes, they can.
They can score. But one thing we have had issues with, especially with no Julius Randle and Bogdanovich is out. You know, he hurt his ankle, you know, against Philly and all that. So the scoring is going to be the thing. I know everybody, because we took care of business against Indy this year. But the scoring, we're going to have to figure it out. You know, we got to get better contributions. You know, guys were hitting big shots and all that. But like Dante was up a little bit up and down. You know, and all that. And we're going to need Deuce to step up off the bench and all that. But like you said, with the X factor with Luka, and I remember doing, you know, well, I was with Knicks fan Wilden before we set out X factors and all that. And usually you say X factors as far as like a role player off the bench or like, you know, the fifth guy on the starting five and all that. And then I said Bogey. And then I'm like, after I was done, I was like, no, the X factor is Jalen Brunson.
Yeah.
Because if Jalen Brunson is not Jalen Brunson, we out in five.
Yeah.
So, like, your X factor could be your best player. It's like, because if your best player is not your best player, then you have no shot of winning. And in our case, especially, we need him to be Jalen Brunson. You know, so that's going to be because, you know, Siakam has playoff experience. We know he could do. Haliburton hasn't been Haliburton for a little bit, but it's the Knicks. Do we know how remember the whole thing with Wally Szczerbiak where he's like, no. And all that. So you don't want to ignite them. So that players like that need that ignition to the left. So he can easily come back and drop 30 and 10 on us. So it's going to be a fun series, though, because it's going to be just like New York. It's not as intense as Philly, because Philly, New York, we're right. Like, they're right here.
Right. Of course.
Literally, they're probably a couple hours away. Indiana. But that rivalry from the 90s and all that is exciting. And just the last few years with Indiana, Obi Toppin is now playing for them. So that's a little – you know, I'm sure he's going to have definitely be. And also it's Brunson versus Carlisle too, because Carlisle had him in Dallas, didn't really utilize him the best way. especially in some closeout games that they had in the playoffs. So there's some of that. So there's going to be interesting and all that. But Halliburton, Brunson is going to be key. But can we still get somebody else to step? Can Dante hit 4, 5, 6 threes, you know, with Brunson and all that? You know, can Josh Hart, who's been if we don't have Josh Hart.
I love Josh Hart.
We're not doing this podcast because I'm still hurt because we're lost. But it's just he hit some big shots. He didn't shoot the ball great, but he still hit. He had big shots, rebounding. If we do those stuff, if we continue to box out, do the little things that we've done to beat Philly, box out, fight for loose balls, things that we did against Philly that why we won, then we should be good and all that. Because you know they're not great defensively and all that, but we got to be careful that we don't get down because they can score and all that. And we don't have the scoring power right now to kind of match. So we have to, we got to be physical like we did against Philly and all that, match that. And but the one thing they don't have Tobias Harris. So, you know, they might have a shot. Because that man just, I'm sorry. I've been throwing straight to Tobias for years, but man, my boy just said, nah, I'm good, man.
He just threw a stray into – I didn't even bring him up yet.
I know how it is in New York when you play bad.
Oh, my God.
But in Philly, there's not a chance in hell that man comes back.
No.
He can't even ask for a ride. You know, there's no. You walk into the to the airport and you flying out of here, bro. You got to get all up out of here and all that. But, yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be fun. It's going to be intense. I'm excited. I can't wait for Monday.
Hell, yeah. Love all of that, Chris. I appreciate the sentiments for sure. I don't know if you saw my tweet, but I played in Lawyers League in San Diego, played basketball in the Lawyers League. And I had hit 3 threes. I was 3 for 6 from deep. I'm a three-point shooter. I don't know if you know this, Chris. I'm a shooter. I can shoot. And that's like all I do is shoot the basketball. So I went 3 for 6. Those are my only points, was not my 9 points. But I scored more points than Tobias Harris did that day. Straight up. Like, I scored more points. Come on, dog. Tobias, what is that?
He got scared of the moment, man. And I watching the energy, I don't say players are scared, but it just felt like he was scared of the moment. He got the ball, and he just – like, dude, you're 6'8", 6'9". We know you could score. You average 18 a game this year. You're an 18 to 20-point per game guy. You got to show up, man.
It was weird.
That hurt Philly just as much as Embiid's injury. It's Tobias not playing that. You would think as the third option, you're going to get better looks. Yeah, the offense isn't predicated around you. It's around Maxey, which it should be. So you got to learn to adapt and all that. And even defensively, he was getting cooked. So it was –
Yeah. Hindsight's 2020. So looking back, you can you obviously know how close the game was. If Tobias Harris scores 6 points, the Sixers win, right? Like theoretically, you know, look at it in that lens. Hindsight's always 2020. But yeah, you just can't have 0 points from your third best scorer. Like you just can't, that can't be a thing. But it was whatever. Tobias Harris was horrible. I love the sentiments about New York moving on, playing Indiana. Let me talk really quickly, though, before we get out of here. One question for you, because I love asking people this question. And I think the answer is it's become more similar as of late. Will Joel Embiid win a ring with the 76ers before he retires?
I can't trust him just to be healthy enough, man.
Yeah.
If we're never going to get at least a playoff run of healthy Embiid, I don't know if we can. Because I thought this was the year. I really thought there was a point. I mean, we all know he was probably going to win back-to-back MVPs. I mean, he was averaging like 37, and like it was like
17.
And then we're seeing Maxey taking. Well, I'm like, this could be it for Philly. Like this might be it. Tobias was playing good basketball. They had the right pieces. You know, Batum was hitting big. Batum hit some big shots in these playoffs. I mean, he kept them.
He did.
Big reason why too.
Great role player.
They had the right pieces. I'm like, and some of their young guys, you know, were playing well too. So I was like, this could be it for them. And he got hurt and all that. So Man, it's so hard to say. I don't like capping players like, oh, they can never win a championship because people would have did this with Dirk and all that. Oh, Dirk, especially after he lost to Miami when they're up 2-0. And then guess what he did? He won a championship a year. We didn't think he would win a championship. So you can never say never. But if I had to gun to my head, I would say no and all that. And because it's crazy. He's the only MVP to never get to conference finals and all that. You know, so like he's gotten close. Obviously, the Toronto, the bounce, you know, the Kawhi, like bounce, that was literally a bounce of a basketball away from maybe getting to the conference finals and all that. So like, but if I had to say, I would say no right now because his body is, he's 30, you know, and he's big. And we know how bigs are. Once they get in that 30s, they start to. Now, he's a different type of big because he's not the traditional back to the basket because he can, you know, shoot it a lot from the perimeter. But if I had it say, I would say he doesn't win a championship and all that. But that doesn't mean we can't appreciate what he's like, how he is as a player and all that. That's one thing we need to start doing better as a whole, as a basketball community, is just because a guy doesn't win a championship and he has shortcomings in the playoffs, it doesn't mean that he wasn't a good player. It's just circumstances, man. It's just so that was one thing that we have to do, especially in this new era of basketball, especially these newer fans. We just tend to disrespect guys because they don't, oh, you didn't win a championship or all that. But if I had to say right now, I don't think he gets one. But we'll see what happens. The offseason, like I said, is going to be crazy. You know, there has been rumblings with him. You know,
maybe. Uh-oh.
In the fan situation, he wasn't happy that New York took over. So,
yeah. I just don't think Embiid. I think I'm comfortably closing the door on Embiid winning a championship with Philadelphia. I'm gonna comfortably close that door. I don't think that's ever gonna happen. Could Embiid win a championship somewhere else? Could he get traded somewhere? Could he go somewhere? You know, sure. But I'm going to comfortably close the door at Philadelphia. I just don't see it happening. The roster construction, they've got to do some – they got some – another team with serious overhauling they have to do over these next few years.
Tobias is off the books. So right. I think they got like $50 million in cap space. So that's why you were hearing a lot of PG rumors and all. Now, I don't know if PG is – the guy they should be going. I don't think you should just, because you have all that cap space, let's go get PG. I don't think that's the move. I think if you just build a roster, I know it's crazy because it made the history, but if you build Maxey's level, so build, just get some good pieces around them and all that. I'd rather go that route than just, let's spend $50 million to get Paul George to come here. I don't think that's, because even if you do that, I don't think Paul George is going to be like, oh, we're going to be a finals team. I think I'd rather just continue to build pieces around, you know, Embiid and Maxey and go that route. But, you know, it's like I said, it's going to be a crazy offseason where teams above them might be trying to do that move, big moves like that. So, you know, we'll see.
I agree. They're going to have to be, you know, Philly and Daryl Morey, they're going to have to be really smart about how they build this roster. Now, I guess Daryl Morey is traditionally known to be a good GM, and I think he should be smart enough to not make that type of move, to like spend all the money on Paul George. I think he would be smart enough to not do that. So if he doesn't and they build a roster, then we'll see what happens with Embiid and with Philly moving forward. But for me, I'm going to comfortably close the door on Embiid winning a championship in Philly. I think it's closed. I don't think it's ever going to happen. If he's going to win a championship, he's going to have to go somewhere else. Like, that's just how I feel. And obviously, if Philly fans are listening to this podcast, they might want to kill me. But that's just how I feel. That's just my instinct. Quickly, Bucks, Pacers, and then we'll close on. We'll close out. So, obviously, Pacers beat the Bucks in 6 games. I picked the Pacers to win that in 6 games. Just because I didn't foresee Dame just not really playing any basketball, but that injury was terrible for him. He played a little bit game 6, but it's just not the same dude. Giannis didn't play a lick. He just wasn't. It's unfortunate because I'm a Giannis fan, but he was a non-factor in the series. And now we're looking at another team with some questions. You know, I think when the Bucks have Giannis, they have more answers than these other teams we were talking about before. But Chris Middleton's getting up there in age. Brook Lopez is getting up there in age. And it's what can they do to make this a better basketball team?
Fran, I don't mean to cut you off. You know what's going to happen? I'm going to say something massive. This is my boldest of the boldest of the boldest of the boldest of the boldest predictions. Giannis will not be a Milwaukee Buck.
Next season.
Woo. That's my bold prediction. Will not be a Milwaukee Buck.
Wow.
The writing's on the wall. He did everything he can for that city. Everything. Kind of like LeBron when he first left Cleveland. Just he had a championship with them. But he's maxed out what he did in Milwaukee. They're another team that is picks. They have nothing. They're a bunch of 30-year-olds on the team. I think that's my bold prediction. I feel it's in my gut.
So he's gonna ask. So you're saying he's gonna ask out, is what you're saying.
He's gonna ask out. That's okay. Why I'm saying it's gonna be the craziest offseason in NBA history, because that's the top. I truly feel like he will ax out. I feel like maxed out with Milwaukee. He's had 10, even when they won the championship, he's like, all right, what are we gonna do to continue it? And then they lose in the first round, get bounced. I think he's kind of getting a little fed up, and he's like, he's done everything for them. He's getting the statue. Jersey's retired. He did everything for that. He's maybe the greatest Milwaukee Buck of all time. He's done everything. I think he's ready for that next chapter. He's been 10 years there, right? He got drafted 10 years there. He's done everything for the city. I think he's ready to do bigger stuff. I think it's bigger picture with Giannis and all that right now. And I think he's capped out. So I think that's my number one bold prediction, is Giannis will not be a Milwaukee Buck next season. Losing in the first round, I know he didn't play, but losing in the first round showed him that, because maybe if they had won and be like, okay, maybe if I played, maybe we could be the championship. But they lost in the first round, and I still thought Milwaukee could beat Indiana, even if it was just Dame and them. I picked Milwaukee to win that series. But and I remember saying, but if they do lose, this is the worst thing that could happen to Milwaukee if they lose. Because it shows them that, we're not ready. We're not ready to be that team. And then we struggled this year and all that. And with Doc and all that, that's my bold prediction, that Giannis will not be a Milwaukee Buck.
I love it. My only pushback is looking at the contracts for Dame and Giannis. Giannis will have 3 years left on his deal. Last year's a player option. So that's 27, 28. So that's the player option for Giannis. Dame's contract, he's got 24, 25, 25, 26, and then a player option for 26, 27. So if the Bucks don't make it out the East or make an Eastern Conference, I say at the least make an Eastern Conference final. Because if it's a second round exit, hell, especially if it's a first round exit next year, if they don't make an Eastern Conference final, I'll fully jump on the bandwagon with you that Giannis will ask out. I don't think it happens this summer because Dame still has time with Milwaukee, and Giannis, will look at this playoff series and say, I didn't play, Dame was hurt. And I think he'll try and justify it to give it one more go, full season with Dame. God, I hope Doc Rivers gets fired. He probably won't, but good Lord.
Pay another coach? No, that's what I'm saying. There's too much things that Milwaukee,
I get what you're saying,
front office has messed up on. Like the roster construction and all that. And I understand it is tough to build a team around Giannis and try to find the right pieces and all that. But when you already have a championship under your belt, you kind of figure it out and all. But like I said, Middleton's aging. Dame was not happy. Dame was not happy. So you don't even know if you want Dame around, because he was not a happy player this year. You know, so all that. So, and Giannis has already, he's already told you, hey, if y'all ain't about this, I consider. And that's what I'm saying. He saw this and he's like, oh man, Brooke's getting old. We don't have no young players. that I could be like excited about. Maybe they grow next. We have no young players.
Nobody
that you trust. I mean, Beauchamp is a nice piece, but we haven't seen enough from him to be like, oh, maybe he can be like a Jonathan Kuminga type player, which a lot of people thought he could be, but he doesn't play. You know, Andrew Jackson from UConn, I liked him a lot. There was a first-round pick. They took him a second round. He can't shoot, but he could do a lot of it. But we don't see. They didn't trust him enough to play consistently. So if you're Giannis, you're like, man, Dane ain't happy he here. Middleton's has ice packs every time there's a timeout on his knees. Brooke ain't broke no more.
I get you, Chris.
Doc Rivers is here. Another coach? We're going to fire another? We're going to? They got three coaches they're paying right now.
Yeah. I get it. I love what you're saying.
That's my bold prediction, though. I'm going.
I love what you're saying. I think I love the bold prediction. I just think Giannis is going to give it one more go with Dame. One more go because they weren't healthy in the playoffs. And he'll give it one more go. And then if that doesn't work again, and they're both healthy, then I think he asks out. I think he'll do it. I think he will ask out for the reasons you mentioned. I just think he'll give it one more go because this is their first time. This is the only time they play together. Just 1 year, that's it. And they weren't even healthy together in the playoffs. So there's going to be like a little seed of doubt that, well, maybe this was a bit of a fluke. Like let's have an off season together, another full off season together. And let's see what we can do. Let's see if we can make this work. And if they can't make it work, if we're in the same spot a year from now, May 5th, a year from now, and they lose in the first round, I'll have you on again, Chris, and 100% Giannis will ask out. Like I will tell you, I will meet you there. No question. He's asking out.
We know with certain players, Giannis is a legacy player, right? Same thing with KD. You lose in the first round. That's on your resume. Like losing in the first, like last year as a one seed, that hurts Giannis.
Oh yeah,
losing as a one seed hurts your. That hurts. It puts a little nick on it, and all. And then losing again, even though he didn't play. But guess what? People don't care. They're still going to be like, well, you lost back to back. Your team's lost, you know, in the first round and all that. And if you don't think Giannis is not paying attention to that, that's what I'm saying. And even with Dame, he could. Be like, hey, man, I'm not happy. Because he wasn't happy, clearly. I know he's going through some stuff and all that, but he clearly was not happy being in Milwaukee. And no disrespect to the city of Milwaukee, but Milwaukee. So I can't really blame him. I say this to Cole and all that. I say, yo, Giannis needs to have a puffer jacket and some Tims, and he'll be a lot more happy. If you're going to be cold, you're going to be cold in New York, baby. So, you know, I just messed with Cole and all that. We said I would continue on the chat and all that. But it's Milwaukee is going to have to, because they have no pick. Like, it's bad.
No.
It's bad, too. It's bad, too, especially you losing. And it gets, like, Francis, we talked about before with the Clippers and Suns. When you lose in the first round, it makes things even worse. It's one thing you lose in a conference final. You lose in seven in the second round and all that. You'd be like, man, when you lose in the first round, to a teams that you probably should have beat, that's when things get a little bit, you know. And now these GMs, and this is the bad thing, is that we're going to have a lot of GMs who are, their jobs are on the line, make irrational moves. And when you do that, you see a lot of bad moves and all that. So that's why I'm saying craziest offseason in NBA history will happen this season.
Well, I love it, Chris. I hope you're right because I love drama. I love drama.
Oh, it's so much fun, right?
It's the best. I love drama when I'm not a part of it. It's the best thing in the world. Yeah. I don't want to be a part of the drama. I don't want my name in the drama. But if someone,
you guys, your team has enough drama. You guys have your drama already. Now it's time a whole new fresh coat of paint.
Absolutely. No question. But yeah, man, Chris, you're the man. I love talking basketball with you. Talking with you, dog. You're fantastic. Congrats to your Knicks again. Let's hope. I'm picking y'all, okay? I don't know if you feel comfortable picking the series because can you pick? Do you feel comfortable?
I'm going Knicks in six. I got humbled because I said Knicks in four against Sixers and all. I didn't say it, just the clout chase. I felt that way. And then after the first two, I was like, oh, we got this. And in game three, we could have had it, but then if they had Embiid, I got ejected like you should have, man. We would have had a sweep and all that, but. It didn't happen, but I'm gonna go. I'll keep it safe.
Six
and three. I think this series is gonna be
back and forth, one back. It's gonna be 1-1, 2-1, 2-2. It's gonna be that type of series and all that.
Okay.
We play good on the road too, so I think we'll steal those, you know, steal a couple games in Indiana and take care of business. And so we'll take care of business in six.
Okay. I pick Knicks in five, so I'm a little bolder than you. I'm picking them in five. I just don't think Indiana can defend at all, and I just think New York is a tougher team. They're more playoff ready, in my opinion, than Indiana is. Obviously, Indiana can score. Hallie's really good. Another matchup you didn't mention was OG and Pascal on separate teams, guarding each other.
Yeah.
Guarding each other, you know, two Toronto boys. Now, that would be fun. They know each other really well, obviously. They know how they play, going to battles and practice on the same. Like, that's going to be fun.
And Hardenstein and Mitchell Robinson are probably like, oh, thank God. Thank God we don't got to play a center that is like, because I give those guys credit, man. They must have been in the ice baths because that was a battle. They had to, and listen, you could only neutralize Embiid so much because I know people get like, oh, he's baiting too much. He's just smart. He's just smart. He knows, wait, you put hands on him, he's going to, so you have to know that and all that. So I give Hardenstein and Mitchell credit for just going in there and battling, being tough. Because this series, you know, this is going to be the complete opposite. They ain't got to worry about that. Miles Turner ain't that type of big. So that's also in our favor too. Our bigs are going to actually be more effective than all that and pick and rolls and all that because they don't got that 285-pound, you know, Embiid to worry about now. So they're probably just like, oh, thank God we don't got to worry about this guy, you know, and all that and just getting pounded. But, hey, I give them credit because they were able to stand still and take the bump. But that's why you need good bigs and all that, and all that solid big. So, you know, they took a pound, man. Embiid, he made them work. He made them work, but we got out of it. So now we're going to a series where it's complete opposite. I think our bigs we're going to see our bigs be more effective and all that, especially on the glass.
Cool. I love it, man. I think it's going to be a great series. I'm so excited for it.
It'll be fun.
It's been a great NBA playoffs. I'm undefeated in the first round in my picks. If Cleveland beats Orlando, I didn't get any pick wrong. I missed some games, you know, in the amount of games, but who's going to win the series? That would be just cool. That would make me feel happy. That would be sick.
yeah.
That'd be really cool. So
yeah, the one I missed, what I miss? I picked the Bucks. I just thought they were just going to, you know, but didn't happen. But
whatever, that's okay. Either way,
the Knicks advance. That's all I care about. The Knicks are in the second round.
That's it. That's all that matters. The NBA lottery soon, so we can talk. There's going to be a lot of basketball things to talk about. I'm really excited to see where the Grizzlies get there. Where their first round pick going to be? Like, that's going to be cool to talk about.
Yours is protected, right? Top six protected
or something? Something like that. Yeah, if I remember correctly. I think you're right. Let's see.
Oh, no. Spurs are top six protected. I think yours is.
I don't think we have a protection.
Or am I thinking? I'm probably thinking of a different team then. If I saw a protected pick.
I saw from Parker Fleming, my dude Parker, big Grizzlies person, and Chris's coverage, saying that Memphis cannot get the fifth or the sixth pick. And I don't know why, but if Parker says they can't get it for whatever reason, I trust Parker. He knows the shit. I don't know why, but if that's what Parker says, then they can't get it. They can't get it. So let's see what happens with the lottery. It's so much. I'm just glad to have you on. Start talking to NBA again. It's been great. Chris, tell everyone where they can find you, bro.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you having me on. You can follow me Off the Ball Pod on X. You can on Instagram, Facebook, follow the Off the Ball Network YouTube page, Facebook page, all that stuff. OTB Network on X. Go to offballnetwork.com. You know, I'm going to be doing a lot more draft stuff coming up as we get ready for draft season. I've been, like I said, just like you, I was doing a lot of Get a Bucket podcast with my guy Kev. You were on we did a lot of college basketball stuff, recruiting and all that. So getting ramped up back to doing more NBA stuff and all that as college basketball season ended, but doing more draft stuff. You know, working on a new podcast, you know, talking about the draft and all that with somebody. So that's in the works. Hopefully figure that out this week and I'll get more details out to the people. But yeah, follow me Off the Pod. I'm always talking everything, you know, whether it's Knicks related or just basketball related. I sometimes just throw random stuff and be like, you know, random polls and all that. I just love talking hoop just like you do. So anytime I could talk to you, I'm always down. And
you know, love having good conversations. You know, I don't go crazy. Oh, they're stupid. And I like having sensible conversations with people about hoops. So, yeah, follow me on Off the Ball Pod. I'm active on X all the time. So just hit me up and we'll talk hoop.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Everyone definitely go give him a follow. Go listen to his podcast. Go follow Off the Ball Network. Amazing people. And yeah, this was fantastic. I'm so excited for the rest of the season. Like you said, Chris, hoops doesn't stop. College, pros, it just doesn't stop.
It never ends. We got high school basketball. You know, yeah, we're about to have, you know, EYBL, you know, so this, I love basketball. Stop. I watch high school, college, Spanish league, you know, and basketball, man. It's just, it's
the go best watch the. Go watch the Philippines Basketball Association, Chris. Go wake up early and go watch some ball out there too, man. You'll see dudes like yay high be hoopers.
Exactly, man. Basketball, man.
basketball. I love it. All right, man. Chris, thank you again for being on the show. To everybody listening, please be sure to leave us a review, give us 5 stars. Like the podcast, do all those fantastic things to try and boost numbers, subscribe to the podcast. I'll be more consistent as we get going to the playoffs and get into the off season. I'm excited to talk basketball again on a consistent basis. But again, Chris, thank you for being on. To everybody listening, until next time, y'all. Peace.
Take care.